I'd like to call the McLean County Board to order. This is a public hearing concerning a capital assistance grant application for improvements to McLean County non-urban public transportation service in DeWitt, Ford, Iroquois, Livingston, and McLean counties for the purpose of considering a project for which financial assistance is being sought from the Illinois Department of Transportation pursuant to the Capital Grants Program. The project is generally described as follows. To purchase two super medium duty 22 passenger each and one medium duty 14 passenger paratransit vehicles to be used in the provision of rural transportation. The total cost of the vehicles is projected at $255,000. To purchase bus radios and computers to be used in the provision of rural public transportation, the total cost of the bus radios is projected at $40,000 and the total cost of computers is projected at $10,000. Are there any speakers from the public for this grant application? Are there any speakers opposed to this grant application? Seeing no request to present information or to speak, this public hearing is now closed. We'll call the regular meeting of the McLean County Board to order. We have invocation by Member Kaisley, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Will you please join me in prayer? Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, creator and preserver of all life, we give thanks for the bountiful resources which you have placed in our county for our use. Grant us the vision and foresight to preserve and protect that part of your world we know as McLean County. Among our most valuable resources are our people. We give thanks for good and useful citizens like Lori Schwartz, who passed away last week, who faithfully served for 14 years as a member of the McLean County Board of Review, striving to make our property tax system fair and equitable. Lloyd also served as a member of the White Oak Township Board and the very first village board of the newly incorporated village of Carlock in 1959. Grant peace and consolation to his family. We are also grateful for the leadership of our former County Board Chairman, Michael Sweeney. We beseech thee, O Lord, out of thy infinite mercy, to lighten his darkness, to strengthen him in his weakness, and to aid him to overcome his present infirmities. Bless our free and open deliberations here this day. Grant that the designs of evil tyrants in far-off lands may be frustrated, and your rule of justice, love, and peace established. Amen. Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Clerk, please call the roll.
O'Connor.
Present.
Owens.
Present.
Rakowskis.
Here.
Rankin.
Here.
Renner. Segabiano.
Here.
Soldner.
Here.
Excuse me, Wendt.
Present.
Walrab.
Here.
Ahart. Bostic. Butler. Kaisley.
Here.
Cavallini.
Here.
Gordon. Hasselton.
Here.
McIntyre.
Here.
Moss.
Here.
Knuckles.
Here.
Sorensen.
Here. We have 15 members present. We have a quorum. Appearance by members of the public and county employees. This is perhaps one of those awkward positions that I'm in now. I'll step to the podium and explain. Do anything, say anything, recognize her in any way. think the exact quote, as I heard about it, was, the taxpayers of McLean County don't need to pay for any stupid plaque for me. Something like, is that fairly accurate? Yeah, it's fairly accurate. So while trying to honor her request to not be recognized in any way or spend any money on it, I gave the administrator 7 cents for a piece of paper and I wrote a letter. And I'd like to take just a minute to read Jackie a letter. Jackie, come on up here for a minute, will you? Well, like I said, this is one of those bad spots because I'm defying her specific request. But at the same time, I think it's really appropriate. So, Jackie, during your tenure as the McLean County Auditor, your office has seen dramatic change, including 2 major revisions to the government accounting standards intended to make government reporting more transparent to the public. In addition to those challenges, you also successfully implemented the internal audit process in your office. You started proactively conducting process and financial audits throughout the county over the past several years. These efforts have contributed directly to a series of clean audits conducted by 2 different outside auditing firms during the time you held this office. Jackie, you've been a good business partner to the McLean County Board and a trusted servant to the citizens of McLean County. There is no doubt that you have redefined what we expect of our internal controls and accounting processes. Your advice and counsel to the county board has been insightful, actionable, and critical to the development of policies that protect the interests of the taxpayers of McLean County. The fact that not many people in McLean County have had an occasion to know very much about you or your office is in fact a testimonial to the outstanding job that you have done for the people of McLean County. I wish you the best for a long and adventuresome retirement. Jackie, thank you very much.
Does this go down? I told Terry I was going to do a lot of kissing. You know, everybody's great and whatever. But what I am going to say is I've had 3 people in my office that I want to recognize that have made my job fun, easy, and a good experience. And I would like them to stand. They've been with me almost the whole time I've been here. And one other person in my area, which is the financial area, that I couldn't have done it without is Becky McNeil. And I say thank you to everybody.
Thank you. I'll frame it.
We would have given you a plaque. We have the consent agenda. We have the consent agenda. Are there any items to be removed from consent?
Mr. Wendt. Approved as presented.
Mr. Wendt, did you want
to? Mr. Chairman, I would like to move that we remove item B2 and E1B from the consent agenda so we can have further explanation on these items and a chance to vote on them individually.
All right, so for record, Mr. Wendt has requested that we remove from the County Highway Department part of the agenda the request approval of an engineering agreement for historic Route 66 bike trail, which is item B2, and he has requested under the Executive Committee agenda that we remove the Anderson Legislative Consulting Professional Services contract, which is item E1B. Is that accurate, Mr. Wendt?
That's correct.
Move be approved as amended.
Motion Segoviano to approve consent as amended. Motion Owen or second Owens. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Noted. I'd now like to invite Member Saldner to the podium, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's my honor to make a presentation today to a graduate of Tri Valley High School, Stephanie Brown. Stephanie, come on up. Stephanie is a member of the track team at Tri Valley, a likewise, I guess, co-member of the track team. I was on track when I was in school back in 1974. I didn't let her in running, I let her in shot, actually. So I did have the opportunity to run in a 440 one time when Tri Valley, Octavia, and Lexington were in a meet, and we were short one leg of the relay, and so I was called to run, and I don't need to tell you where we placed in that meet. But anyhow, it's my pleasure to do this resolution of congratulations. Whereas the McLean County Board wishes to recognize the outstanding performance of Stephanie Brown, Tri Valley High School graduate and member of the Tri Valley High School track and field team. And whereas Stephanie Brown became the first four-time Illinois High School Association champion in the 800-meter run, breaking her own small school state meet record in 2009 with a time of 2 minutes, 9.12 seconds. And whereas Stephanie Brown in 2009 also won her first Illinois High School state 1600-meter title in a school record of 5 minutes, 1 second, and 50 one-hundredths. And ran a 2.0602 anchor leg for the Tri-Valley record-setting Illinois High School Association State Championship 4x800-meter relay team. And whereas Stephanie Brown was named the Pantographs 2009 Female Athlete of the Year, now therefore be it resolved by the members of the McLean County Board, now meeting in regular session, that we congratulate Stephanie Brown on her outstanding 2009 track and field season and her record-breaking state championship career, be it further resolved that a suitable copy of this resolution be presented to Stephanie Brown and Tri-Valley High School, adopted this 21st day of July. Congratulations. Say something.
That makes you excited. Hi. It's really an honor for all of you high-class people to recognize me from little old Downs, but I really appreciate it for everything I've done all the 4 years for you guys to recognize it. I'd like to thank all my coaches and my family. Not all of them are here today, but it's really been an honor. Thanks.
Congratulations, Stephanie. And just so you know, some of us are from little old Downs and little old Ellsworth and little old Lexington. And Mr. Segoviano.
Mr. Chairman, a matter of information, then do our the materials we've been presented as Kelly Kern. And I assume that's a typo.
You're correct.
And I would hope that that would be corrected. Thank you.
It's been corrected in my notes, and it's actually been corrected. We just didn't bother to print and distribute. It was a cut and paste error, as I recall. Last year at this time, we gave an award to Kelly. So
certainly do not want to slight the athlete of the year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Congratulations, Ms. Brown. Standing Committee's Executive Committee, Vice Chairman Owens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have the one item that's been removed. That be E1B, which is a request approval of contract between the County of McLean and Anderson Legislative Consulting for professional services on pages 24 to 27, and I would so move.
We have a motion, Owens, second. Cavallini, questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Noted.
And besides that, that was our only action item. General report is found on pages 55 through 61, and the various other minutes from other meetings are found from 62 to 81.
Great. Thank you. Are there any questions of Vice Chairman Owens? None heard. Land Use and Development Committee. Vice Chairman Segubiano.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have one item for action, and I would move the approval of the resolution of the McLean County Solid Waste Management Technical Committee to fund seven $1,000 recycling grant to small municipalities within McLean County and $12,500 for the ongoing battery recycling program administered by the Ecology Action Center. I would so move.
A motion, Segubiano. Second, Kaisley. Questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you.
Our general report can be found on pages 84 to 87.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Vice Chairman Segubiano of the Land Use and Development Committee? Property Committee, Vice Chairman Moss.
Mr. Chairman, the Property Committee has absolutely nothing to add to today's discussion other than a very interesting general report which begins on page 88.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Vice Chairman Moss of the Property Committee? Transportation Committee, Chairman Hosselton.
Mr. Chairman, we have no items to present to the board. Our general report can be found on 96 to 104.
Thank you. I'll ask the chairman to address item B2 from consent, which is the bike trail on Old Route 66 question that was removed from the consent agenda.
I'll tell you what. Where's he at? Is Eric here?
Yeah.
Eric? I am not prepared whatsoever. I've been in Iowa and just got home real late last night. And unlike me, I didn't open the book till I got here. First time, guys.
All right. Chairman Hollison, you want to go ahead and make the motion, put it on the floor, and then we'll talk about it?
I need to make a motion?
Yeah.
To make a motion for the engineering agreement on historic Route 66 bike trail with Hanson Professional Services.
Motion, Hosselton. Second, Walrap, excuse me. Questions, comments, or discussion? Mr. Wendt?
Yeah, I'd like to know how much this is going to cost, or the estimates of what this agreement is going to cost us.
Eric, do you mind responding?
The cost is in, let me find the page it's on.
Oh, yeah, cost.
The estimated cost for this study is, or for the engineering, is $169,495.
Question, Mr. Kaisley? Other questions, comments, or discussion?
Yeah.
Member O'Connor.
My question is, how are the municipalities going to share in the cost of adding onto the trail?
There is a intergovernmental agreement from 1999 that just breaks out the cost. And between the county, the town of Normal, and the city of Bloomington, they make up 96.5% of that cost. The other is divided between McLean, Towanda, Lexington, and Chenoa.
Okay, is it one-third?
No, it's based on population.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the county's percent is 20, right around 26%.
Other questions, comments, or discussion? Member Wendt?
Yeah, I question whether Bloomington's going to have the money first of all. Second.
I can actually respond to that. This topic came up in discussion with Mayor Stockton and City Manager Hales just last week, and they acknowledged the fact that they have an intergovernmental agreement and it's an obligation of the city. They said they'll deal with it.
The other comment I have, I realize that we're, getting 80-20 with the federal government on this or with somebody, but I just kind of question whether at this time we should be spending any money in addition to what we have to spend. With our revenues in the county going down, we don't know where they're going to go to. It's kind of like the example of a family wanting a pleasure boat. Right now you could buy those in Florida for about 20 cents on a dollar. The only thing is next summer, if the family's income goes down, they might not be able to afford the gasoline to run the boat. Now, are we going to get ourselves in a position? There are going to be additional costs, I'm assuming, to upkeep this trail. Number two is whether the sheriff's department is going to have to patrol the trails. Those trails are dangerous for people. And I'm assuming that we're going to have to spend some of our resources patrolling that trail. So I'm going to vote no on it because I think this is not the time that we should be spending any additional money for something that is not necessary. Thank you.
Anything there you want to comment on?
This is part of the money we're applying for and trying to get as part of the ARRA, the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, and it's part of that money was set aside for enhancement projects, which is bike trails and that type of thing. It is money that's out there that's only available for those projects. So, and it's a project that the bike trail's been going on for 10 years now and trying to pursue it, and this is the closest we've got to actually funding the actual construction of a piece of it. So,
other questions, comments, or discussion? Member Knuckles.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Eric, the timeline for the contract agreement is, but what is the actual construction timeline, beginning date, end date?
To get the ARRA funds, the stimulus funding, we have to go to letting by March of 2010. So construction would be next year.
And how long construction is expected to last?
It would probably be finished by the end of next summer.
Thanks, Eric.
Other question, Member Walrap.
It would be 80% of the construction and the engineering. We're doing a flexible match on this, is where we are funding, doing the engineering agreement up front and putting our money into that, but that constitutes our match for the actual construction. The total cost of the trail is estimated at $1.58 million, and then the engineering is the right at $170,000. So the 80% of that would be what's available for the ARRA, and we haven't gotten that money. It's not a guarantee yet, but it's a very, very strong likelihood from IDOT.
Member Cavallini.
I'd just like to mention that a portion of this trail already is up and going around Lexington, thanks to the generosity of Ollie and Dorothy Myers, and it's been very well received. And I think that if we can, extend that portion of it to Shenandoah and to places south, it'll be quite an additional asset to McLean County, and perhaps will bring in people from outside the county to enjoy a nice bicycle path.
Member Hosselton.
The city of Shenandoah has already received $300,000 in regard to that trail. I'm aware of.
Other questions, comments, or discussion? Member Knuckles.
Has there been any studies, or do you have an estimate, general estimate, of how often this trail will be used? Is it worth the money, in other words?
Yeah. Well, it's a study that's been, the planning process has been going on for quite a while on the Route 66 bike trail. I don't know exactly the use, but it does, the bike trails in town are used very frequently, and this will be a connection and extension of the Constitution Trail. But we don't have exact numbers on usage.
Other questions, comments, or discussion? Member Segubiano.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I certainly applaud those who are concerned about the expenditures that we have to do, but we have an intergovernmental agreement. That's our word, and we should honor it. I think the time for us to address these types of matters is when we adopt the budget. And rather than just accepting our budget packet and setting aside, we need to look at items like this. And there's no doubt about it that we're going to be experiencing some tough time. But we don't need to be one of those government entities that backs out of an intergovernmental agreement. We made our pledge, and we should honor our pledge. And I think when we adopt a budget, we should know what's in there and work to either eradicate it or to leave it.
Member Soldner.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I want to reiterate what you said. One of our discussions at Transportation Committee was the fact that we wanted to be sure that the city of Bloomington would pony up on their part, and we were assured that they had a mechanism in place to do that. And I think what we were kind of accusing them, what Mr. Segubiano said, not fulfilling your part of agreement was what we're looking at possibly doing here. So I'm in favor of this.
Member Kaisley.
We need to consider that this extension of the Constitution Trail would connect the cities of Bloomington and Normal with a natural area in Funk's Grove, which would be a likely destination for people who wanted to take a bike ride, and would be a considerable asset in terms of recreation for people who are cyclists. I happen to be a swimmer, but the cyclists need recreational opportunities as well, and this would afford a significant one.
Member Rakoskis.
I understand Mr. Wendt's concern, but I also agree with Mr. Segubiano. We have to keep our honor towards intergovernmental agreements. Also, because we are hitting hard economic times, I believe this is so important. We won't be able to take our families and go to longer destinations. We will have to find our recreation entertainment within our own community. So it's very good for short-term and long-term use, and I'm very much in favor of this.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments, or discussion? Member Wendt.
Yeah, you said there's 360,000 would be the total, and we not the 169. In other words, the total match is going to be 360,000.
Yeah, it would be the 20% of the total cost. And so,
and the other point I'd like to make, I'd like to see a usage. I know everybody likes the Performing Arts Center in Bloomington, but we did a study of that, and for every ticket that's sold in that Fine Arts Center, the taxpayers of Bloomington are subsidizing those tickets by $28.50. Now, that's why I'd like to know the usage. So we're talking about a bike trail and how many people are going to use it, and then what's the upkeep and stuff on it, and are we getting in a situation where we're subsidizing activities of people at a high rate? And I know in the city of Bloomington, when you think about the Coliseum, I think the ticket subsidy there is $9.85 per ticket that's sold. So I'm concerned with that type of thing where we're asking other citizens to pony up and subsidize other citizens' activities.
Other questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. We've got a motion, Hosselton, and a second, Wohlrab, for item B2 from the consent agenda. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Noted. Motion passes. Anything else from the Transportation Committee? Chairman Hosselton. Are there any questions of Chairman Hosselton of the Transportation Committee? Finance Committee, Chairman Owens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Finance has several items for action. Our first is E1A, a request approval of application for capital assistance to the Illinois Department of Transportation for Show Bus to provide rural public transportation in McLean, Livingston, Ford, Iroquois, and DeWitt counties through building and zoning, and I would so move.
Motion Owens, second. Hosselton, questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, I will go ahead and move items E1C, which would be a request approval of a resolution of the McLean County Board authorizing the county clerk to offer a salary above the starting maximum salary permitted under the county's personnel ordinance through the county clerk's office. I would so move, and then I'd like to make a quick comment.
Motion Owens, second Cavallini. Chairman Owens.
I know that there is going to be some discussion on this. The only reason why we have it on there is that executive session is if it goes into discussing the person that we would be hiring, we would then need to go into executive session in stating names and various qualifications. So, again, this is to see where I know some people have had discussion that's not related to this person. So that's why we will not go into executive session unless it is needed or if any other member wants to towards the end of the discussion. At this time, I'll wait and reserve my comments to the end of others.
Thank you. Questions, comments, or discussion on the item? Member O'Connor.
Okay, once again, we're asking to go over the salary schedule. We have a salary schedule in place. The taxpayers of this county expect us to be paying people on that salary schedule. Every time we go over this, it's my feeling that we're not doing our best job for our taxpayers, because we're asking them to pony up again and add more tax dollars into a salary schedule that is supposed to take care of hiring people. If we cannot hire people at this rate, we need to redo that salary schedule. We need to visit it and figure out what's wrong with it. I am going to vote no. I think we have a problem here with this salary schedule. This is, what, 5 times in 4 months that we're coming in and doing this. There's obviously a problem.
Other questions, comments, or discussion? Member Wendt?
Yeah, I just want to back up with what Sandy O'Connor said. Is that we are setting a precedent. This is the 5th time, and I'm going to vote no on it because we're setting this precedent where anytime somebody wants to hire somebody, they can come to us and ask us for to hire them outside of the scale. And I agree. If the scale's wrong, we should up the scale. But during this economic times, I don't think that upping salary scales is really necessary.
Other questions, comments, or discussion? Member Walrab.
It's my experience in human resources and as a compensation manager that there are times when it does warrant hiring people above a minimum of a pay grade, but that then depends on the specifics of that person's skills and ability. So I guess I would move that we go into executive session.
That's an appropriate motion. We've got a motion to go into executive session to discuss this personnel matter. We've got a second, Hosselton. Questions, comments, or discussion on the motion to go into executive session?
Mr. Chairman, my only question, I guess a matter of information. I don't think we're here, at least I don't feel that we're here to discuss personnel or personality. We're here to discuss a position. And I think we have to extract the names of any individual or any department head when we come to a situation like that. We're simply talking about paying a position. And so if we're going to go into executive session and talk about a person, I think that should have been identified in the minutes. But we're here talking about paying a position, and that would apply to anybody at any time. Just for a comment in regards to Sonny, you know, that was mentioned in executive committee when this issue came up, that we need to revisit that personnel policy. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Other questions, comments, or discussion on the motion to go into executive session? None heard. All those in favor of going into executive session, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Roll call, please. We'll request the roll call. For clarification purposes, this motion to go into executive session includes county administrative staff, state's attorney staff, and the county clerk staff. Is that accurate? Motion maker? Okay. Please call the roll.
O'Connor?
No.
Owens?
Yes.
Rakowskis?
Yes.
Rankin?
No.
Renner is absent. Segabiano?
No.
Soldner?
Yes.
Wendt?
Yes.
Walrab?
Yes.
Ahart, Bostic, Butler absent. Kaisley?
No.
Cavallini?
Yes.
Gordon absent. Hosselton?
Yes.
McIntyre?
No.
Moss?
No.
Knuckles?
No.
Sorensen?
That's
No. Motion fails 8-7. We are back to the original motion. Other questions, comments, or discussion? Chairman Owens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll several comments on this. I again want to thank the members for the various comments that they've made and their thoughts on this. I have always looked at these from that when we're also, yes, we have a position, and yet, but we also need to take a look at, as what Member Woolrap has stated, is that a lot of times we need to also look at the people, though, that are filling these positions. And again, this instance is one that, again, is very well warranted, because this person that is going to be hired has very good and a number of years of experience in the areas that this person is going to be hired for. I also wanted to applaud the clerk. She did go out and did look at other postings on this job position, had other applicants, and looked at those applicants compared overall, and at the end of the day, her decision was that she'd like to hire this person. And again, we could probably hire someone at that rate, but then we'd have that have this kind of experience in the election area. And the election area side of the clerk's office is very specific. We've had, I believe, Ms. Nelson and county clerk have sent me some information that I'm wanting to say in the tenure that Ms. Milton has been county clerk, there has been at least six people that have held that position, and majority of them are only for about 2 to 3 years. It is a very high demanding part of the job, and a lot of overtime, and it takes a lot of sacrifice. And people that have not had the elections experience have posted and have hired for that job. It seems like they can only work on it so long, and they just either get burnt out. I know some that have held there for a while had moved away with family, or they wanted to start a family. And so therefore this, that's kind of some of the history behind this. This person that the clerk is wanting to hire does have that experience, knows what the job's going to entail, knows the long hours that it's going to take, is up and current with all the election laws and information that this person would need to know. The only curve on this as to being taught anything would be the other aspects of the office of the county clerk. There wouldn't be, my understanding, any type of job orientation for the election part. So again, we look at this, and that's why a lot of these and all these that have been passed have had merit as to why we've had to do this. In the past, since July 2008, there's a handout at our spot that I want to thank the county administrator for doing. This will be number six, and if you look at from July to July, this will be our sixth time of doing this. And the majority of these are because of offering early retirement, and that people that had to fill these positions have lost years of experience from the county, but also were wanting to hire people that had a very good amount of expertise in these areas and a lot of good years and job knowledge of the positions that they were filling. And pretty much the classification on having to retrain someone in some of these areas was very, very little. But then also wanted to talk to Mr. Wasson today, and in about the last 10 years, the majority average that this board does this was 3 times a year. Back in 2006 was the highest, and for some reason there was 8 that year. I don't know the reasoning behind it, but generally every year we do an average of 8 of these again, or 3, I'm sorry. But again, we're seeing this. A lot of this right now is because of early retirement that we've offered, and we have still been able to save money hiring some of these people above maximum starting salary. I think we need to look at it on the merits. I think the clerk has done her job, and she has shown just cause to the Finance Committee, and we did go into executive session, and afterwards it came out 4-1 with one member absent. Again, I want to thank her for her diligence and going through the process and at least posting the job as well. And I also want to thank the administrator's office for their assistance with the clerk and with myself in getting the information and the history as to doing these maximum starting salaries. I know that there's going to be some discussion of wanting to look at the personnel ordinance, and I don't think that this is the time or place here. I would ask that that be placed on the Finance Committee agenda for next month as a discussion item, and invite any and all board members to that meeting, and we can fully discuss that. I think this, though, right now, we just need to take this issue as it is presented, and that we move on at least this aspect, taking this request at this time, and then look at our salary structuring next month and in committee.
Thank you. Member Segubiano.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would have to respectfully disagree with my good friend Ben Owens, because I think this is the time to discuss the personnel issue, and if it needs to be referred to the Finance Committee after our discussion here today, so be it. But, you know, a moment ago I talked about, you know, we have an intergovernmental agreement, and we need to honor that. We adopt a budget, and we certainly need to honor that to the best of our ability. And when we go to the taxpayers with an adopted budget, we have established salary structures in that budget. And once again, I want to emphasize the fact that this has nothing to do with the process that the department head took or the individuals being recommended for this. At some point in time, we need to look at what the law says. The law says we must establish a salary for every elected county board member that comes on before the election. The law says that we must establish a salary for any office holder who's elected before their election. So we are being told that if someone is being elected, we have to establish their salary as well as our own before an election. We do the same thing when we adopt a budget. We establish salaries, and it goes back to the personnel policy. If it's wrong, then we need to look at it. Mr. Wynn, a moment ago, mentioned the fact that we're in tough economic times, and I agree with him. And at some point in time, we have to address that issue. Now, we have an intergovernmental agreement, and I disagree with Mr. Wynn on that, you know, we need to honor that. But he brings up a very good point. We have people here in McLean County now that are being unemployed that we've never seen before. We have an obligation as stewards of the taxpayers' dollars, you know, that we need to take a hard look at this. We've adopted a salary for this position, and I think we need to honor it and honor the taxpayers who have put us here to be the stewards of their money. We're not denying anybody a decent salary. I'm sure we would not be here today talking about it if it was some custodial employee who was being, offered the starting salary. So be it. Or a filing clerk in one of these offices. So be it. I know there are positions in county government that need some expertise, but I would hope that in the absence of that person who holds that job, there has been some cross-training in these departments that can step in and fill that position. I'm going to vote no against this, because if we've done it six times in the past, or on average, as Mr. Owen says, three times, it's time that we stop that. It's time that we say, this is what the job is worth, and this is what we're willing to pay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Member Hostleton.
Ben made the comment about a great deal of overtime.
Do we pay that overtime, or is it a salary position that their performance, they just take it for the job requires?
It's a non-exempt position, so it would be eligible for overtime.
Thank you.
Member Koskis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What is the difference in salary between the different steps here that we're proposing? Annual salary?
Do we have to do some math?
I didn't see the number in the report.
It would be approximately $4 an hour.
Which is approximately
$8,000-$9,000, something like that.
So that's 20% difference?
Approximately
20%. Okay. And one question I have is, when the job was posted, do we post salaries when we're looking for job applicants?
We post the range.
The range. So
This number is within the range, right?
This number is within the salary range. Your personnel policy gives a 5% latitude across the entire range for all positions except those that are on what are called the impacted positions list, which are positions that are traditionally difficult to fill, technology, legal, and medical positions. They have latitude up to about 40% of the range. Many pay systems give the employer, the hiring authority, latitude up to 50% or the midpoint. Ours does not. Ours is a conservative system, and the normal latitude is the first 10 steps, which represents 5% of the range. We do have a policy of bringing these requests when we find somebody who's uniquely qualified by virtue of education, experience, or what some other aspect, that we bring these exceptions to the board. 98% of the time, as my memo suggests to you, 98% of the time the system works. We hire within those ranges. Occasionally we find a situation where it makes sense to go above those ranges. This is one of those cases.
So if I understand correctly, then when the job was posted, it was posted that they could be paid up to like $20 an hour.
Well, the entire pay range is listed on the job posting.
That's, I mean, correct. But it did go up to like $20.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's correct.
I just want to make sure we're not leaving out then, you know, if it was posted with its old salary, maybe there would have been people who had just as qualified, but they wouldn't apply because it was a lower price range.
That's
than
not the case.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Just, I guess, point of clarification for me then. One, this dollar amount is within the range that we as a program have decided this job is worth. Is that accurate?
That's correct.
And this compensation level does not require a budget amendment, which means that we had budgeted at least this many dollars for this job in the planning process.
Well, when we budget salary dollars, we never know the exact step someone's going to be hired at. We don't know the exact amount of merit adjustment they receive during the year, and we don't know what kinds of time periods we might have between the time an employee leaves a position and another employee is hired in the position. So the sum of all those factors means that the salary projection we make for any given budget year, which we're doing now, that should carry us through December of 2010, is not going to be spot on. In this case, this position could be brought in at the proposed pay level, and it would not require a budget amendment for all those reasons.
Okay. Other questions, comments, or discussion? Member Kaisley.
This position has been characterized by a lack of continuity and consistent employment of people in this position. And we have here, we also have had a problem that there has not been a full level of cooperation between the Board of Election Commissioners of the City of Bloomington and the Election Division of the County Clerk's Office. And this person is coming from the Board of Election Commissioners, and I think could
Member Kaisley, in order to talk about that level of detail, I think an executive session is probably appropriate.
Well, I'm just pointing out that this could bring about a greater degree of cooperation and parallel procedures between the Board of Election Commissioners and the County Clerk's Office Election Division, and I think would be very valuable to consistent application of the election laws across all of McLean County.
Other questions, comments, or discussion? Member O'Connor.
Okay, it is my understanding that this is within the range, but it is beyond where we would normally hire someone into this position. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, well, my other comment is, I know in our community we have people out there with MBAs that are looking for entry-level positions because jobs are hard to find. I cannot believe that we have to pay above in order to get the expertise that we need. I think there are people out there. If we look hard enough, we would find them.
Member Wendt.
You mentioned $9,000. In other words, $9,000 it would cost us additional for this person at the standard number of hours.
No.
Yes.
$4 different, about $2,000.
So then,
$8,000.
In the past, how many hours is this particular position required in overtime during the year, because with this increase, we're not talking just 9,000, we're talking about 9,000 plus whatever additional overtime is generally generated by this position. Because when we're paying overtime, we're paying the extra money.
About the same amount as the person who had the job before, who was being paid more.
Yeah, but what we're talking about then is 9,000 over the entry level plus whatever the additional, which would be substantial on the overtime.
Well, I don't know that there's an ongoing and repeating pattern of overtime. That would be a management decision within the office, so I couldn't give you a number of hours that are required for overtime. It would vary according to what's going on with that particular election cycle. For example, 2009 is a low point in the election cycle. 2010 is a different kind of a year because it's a congressional election year, and the time varies from year to year.
I just as a point of reference, Peggy Ann just mentioned to me, and she's comfortable with me sharing. In her office, it's not uncommon for people to take comp time, especially those that work within the election cycle. They kind of accumulate some time during the election cycle and then take some time off after the election. So, for what it's worth. Other questions, comments, or discussion? Member Segbiano.
Thank you, Ms. Just a matter of information. If this were to pass and this person, this position gets a $9,000 increase, when we go into the budgeting process, this person is also going to be eligible what the county extends to all employees for pay raise plus merit increase. Is that not true?
That's true with one difference. If someone is hired in the normal starting range, that being between steps 1 and 10, they're eligible to be considered for an evaluation and a merit after 6 months. If somebody is brought in above that normal starting range, their eligibility for evaluation and merit occurs 12 months after the hiring date.
So are you saying that if this were to pass, that person would not be eligible, or that position would not be eligible for a merit increase?
It would be 12 months from the time of hire.
And a pay raise?
Yeah, if appropriate, yes.
Thank you.
Member Moss?
We haven't done much discussion about the duties of this person, the job requirements. Can somebody maybe give us some kind of idea what those skills are? We're talking about something that's specialized, or can we hire somebody off the street and stick them in there?
If there's no concerns from members of the board, I'm going to ask that that the Peggy Ann Milton address.
The elections administrator is responsible for literally administering the election for McLean County, the jurisdiction, and the county clerk's office. That starts from making sure that the election judges are trained, deputy registrars are trained. With the HAVA 2000, there were a lot of election changes, and we are now required to do diagnostics on our touchscreen equipment, do lock and load, and various very technical issues associated with the election. Also, the election rules are constantly changing, and you have to have a solid foundation of the current rules in order to implement the new ones. We just recently picked up having to be the canvassing board for all of the local elections. Prior to that, the local entities did their own canvassing. Now the elections administrator is responsible for that. The responsibilities for the position have drastically increased in the last 10 years, and the salary that is being proposed is reasonable from our perspective. Obviously can't talk about individuals, but the learning curve for the elections position is huge. It's not something like a standard job where you can come in and learn it and it's stagnant and you know those responsibilities. It's a moving target. You do not learn the entire election cycle until you have experienced 4 to 8 elections because of the different cycles and rules associated with each. So the elections administrator is responsible for a vast majority of statutory and administrative responsibilities for the election. To ensure a proper and fair election, it's imperative that we have someone that is well-trained, experienced, and versed in the issues associated with elections. And we have a general election coming up in February and also in November. It would be, in our opinion, and in after discussing with the administrator's office, prudent to hire this position in as presented to the board. The position is very, very detailed, and like I said, requires a lot of statutory understanding and deadlines. So it's from start to finish. Everything you see at the polling place, that person handles with the assistance of a deputy.
Member Rakauskas.
Thank you, Ms. Melton. I think it's important for us to realize the expertise is necessary in this position, only because if something goes wrong in an election, it can cost our county a great deal of money. So we have to be very wise how we spend our money. I'm along with Mr. Segabiano, I like to watch our pockets very carefully. But I think we have to be wise how we spend it, too, so we don't get an inexperienced person in there that doesn't have the training. Like Ms. Milton said, if you need that many cycles of elections to be knowledgeable, a costly election mistake for the county, I wouldn't want to face.
Member Solner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to voice my support on Member O'Connor and Member Wendt's concern of the fact we're going back to this process seems monthly or every couple months. Although I do feel that we need to make sure that we have our elected officials have our support and have the opportunity to make decisions on their own. I assume that the clerk and the administration has had an opportunity to see if this does fit into the budget, and I feel like we should go ahead and approve this motion.
Other questions, comments, or discussion? Member Rankin?
I feel that this is there are two questions that are going on here. One, we have the market side of the policymaking process of we have the administration suggesting that this is a rare occurrence. This is something that while we feel that we continue to come back to this, at least in this situation, fairly frequently, this is portrayed as a necessary evil. In order to do business, that basically what I'm hearing that this is the cost of doing business, that sometimes we do have to step outside of this. On our side, I think that it becomes for the county board a political question of at what point in time do we put our foot down and suggest that no longer are we going to tolerate just any elected official turning around and suggesting that they can step outside of the pay scale. So I think it there are two things going on here, and who do we listen to? And I think that there are two very difficult questions. One, I obviously agree with Members O'Connor and Member Wendt and Member Segubiano that we need to hold our elected officials accountable, that they need to stay within inside a pay scale. But at the same time, what are the costs to us if we do not do this? I think those are major questions that we need to ask ourselves.
Member Cavallini, and then Ms. Milton would like to address.
Well, I think it is possible to be penny wise and dollar foolish. And in this circumstance, I feel that it is a good use of our funds to look at this particular position. And in the light of what Ms. Milton has said, to me, it seems like we are asking and expecting whoever holds this position to do a great deal of work on the part of the county. And I agree with Mr. Caucus that we would not want to have mistakes made if we can possibly avoid that. On the other hand, I also am very sensitive to the fact that we do need, I think, to somehow extricate ourselves from a pattern that does seem to be developing. And I agree with Mr. Owens that I think that once we decide this one particular issue here on this position, that we do need to come to the Finance Committee and take Mr. Owens' invitation to arrive there and discuss very thoroughly what seems to be developing as a pattern, whether it's caused by the early retirement or whatever seems to be triggering it. We do need to look at it. Thank you.
Other questions, comments, or discussion? Ms. Melton?
I respect the salary structure, and I've held position in this county for 17 years in three different departments, and I have not once asked for a salary adjustment above the scale because I've absolutely respected the position. So I don't want you to be of the impression that it was a flippant decision. I have thoroughly, like I said, respected the salary structure and have done everything to stay within it. There are times when if you can gain experience even more than my own, that would be what I look at as a blessing to the county. I felt it was important to propose this, and would not have done it without the support of the administrator's office. So it's just a humble request, and I would hope that you would consider it.
Member Kaysley.
We have to remember that we are not considering an amendment to the budget and increasing the salary expenses of the county clerk's office. This could be done within the existing appropriation without a budget amendment.
Member Wolrad.
The reason I had requested that we go into an executive session was to hear about the specifics of this person's qualifications and understand more about the position's requirements. And I guess in the course of our conversation here, I've been satisfied that this is in fact a complex job, and that perhaps accidentally we have heard that the person filling the job apparently has current and on-the-job knowledge of how this position should function and is very well steeped in the election rules and law. So my concerns about this salary have been placated, and in order to get people who are qualified, well qualified, and experienced, sometimes you have to pay more than the minimum salary in order to get those people, and I support this.
Do you remember Moss?
I think we need some perspective. As Mr. Lindbergh's memo says, the county hired or promoted 235 employees from July 1, 08 through June 30th, 09. Two of those, we promoted the assistant to be the director because of a concern over overtime pay that the person was losing in their previous position. If I'm not mistaken, the health department director, even though he received a pay raise, still makes less than his predecessor. So you're looking at the county recorder position and the state's attorney position that were hired equal to the former incumbent, or another employer was paying. And I'd also point out, as we've said before, and I think Mr. Lindbergh said, that the 98% level indicates that our compensation system is working well. I think you have to take these exceptions in perspective and talk about what exactly is involved in the reasoning for the pay.
Thank you. Member O'Connor.
Okay, I understand all the reasoning that we need this expertise, yada, 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 yada. My bottom line is, when do we stop making the exceptions? When do we say we are here to save the taxpayers' money? Yes, these may fall within the budget, but if we don't hire beyond the salary schedule, wouldn't we indeed be saving money for the taxpayers of McLean County? I guess that's where I'm coming from.
Other questions, comments, or discussion? Member Owens.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Wanting to kind of go off a little bit what Member Moss had said in that, and again, thank you, Terry, for the information here. To me, is looking at our structure, if we have a 98%, rating that the policy is working is 98%, I think that's an extremely good indicator that it does work, as has been stated. I would say if that was anywhere between 85% and 88%, I would say, yes, that's something to give us cause to maybe that it should be examined a little more thoroughly. That's my personal thought. Now, again, I am not opposed to having, if members want to have a discussion on this, I am not opposed to having this on the finance agenda and, discussing it. But my personal perspective is, and for the years I've been on finance, I've always looked at these and always have looked at these on based of the merits. And again, 98% of the time our policy is working. If it was below 90%, I would say then that's something that does give us cause. So again, that's if we'd like to discuss this at finance, I'm not opposed to it. And again, if it is discussed, my mind can be changed. But as of now, it's working well, and I think we can just go move forward with the various businesses of the personnel policies.
Other questions, comments, or discussion? I'll call the question. I'm going to suggest a roll call is in order. Clerk, please call the roll. A yes vote supports the request coming from the clerk's office and forwarded as forwarded by the Finance Committee. A no vote denies the request. Please call the roll.
O'Connor?
No.
Owens?
Yes.
Rakowskis?
Yes.
Rankin?
No.
Segubiano?
No.
Soldner?
Yes.
Wendt?
No.
Wohlrab?
Yes.
Casely?
Yes.
Cavallini?
Yes.
Hasselton?
Yes.
McIntyre?
No.
Moss?
Yes.
Knuckles?
No.
Sorensen?
Yes. Motion passes 9-6. Just as that discussion closes, I'll mention that the county board is entirely in control of these policies. In other words, there are other county boards who never see these kinds of requests unless they involve a budget amendment. So in those cases, their boards have said our level of involvement comes when the dollars have to be adjusted from a budget perspective. I would suggest to you that this board would have seen none of these requests this past year had that been our policy. So again, this policy is completely within our control. Chairman Owens of the Finance Committee has suggested that maybe this is an appropriate discussion topic to revisit the policy in general. At the Finance Committee, I would encourage members to contact him if they would like to see that happen. Any other business from the Finance Committee?
Not at this time. Our general report is found on pages 118 to 127. And again, I would like to thank the members for their discussions and for all the information that's been put forward. And again, thank you so much.
Thank you. Justice Committee, Vice Chairman Rakowskis.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes,
microphone, please.
Thank you, Chairman. We have two action items. The first one is F1A, request approval of an emergency appropriation ordinance amending the McLean County fiscal year 2009 combined annual appropriation and budget ordinance, general fund 0001, coroner's office 0031, and I so move.
Motion Rakowskis, second Rankin. Questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you.
Our second item for action is F1B, request approval of amendment to the agreement between the 11th Judicial Circuit Court, the County of McLean, and the Children's Foundation Circuit Court. I will so move.
Motion Rakowskis, second Cavallini. Questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you.
And our general report can be found on pages 131 to 138.
Thank you. Are there any questions of Vice Chairman Rakowskis of the Justice Committee? None heard. Report from the County Administrator, Mr. Lindbergh.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll just remind the members that the annual county picnic is this Thursday. Dinner will be served promptly at 6 p.m. And we're all invited to attend. Have not made reservations in advance. I think we can squeeze you in. So we welcome your attendance, sir. Also remind you that immediately following this meeting, there will be a workshop conducted by Civil Assistant Hannah Eisner and Pablo Eves regarding parliamentary procedures and how they affect county board meeting and committee meeting activities. That's expected to last 30 minutes or less, and you're all encouraged to attend.
Will that parliamentary procedure include the Owen filibuster rule? Is that part of it?
Yes, sir, it will be.
Any questions for the administrator's office? Other business or communications to come before the board? Member Segubiano.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In light of our just recent generosity and with tongue in cheek, I'm going to move that the board reimburse the chairman for his expenditure in honor of Jackie Dozier here today.
I actually picked it up out of the leave a penny, give a penny jars on my way in today, so we're good. We're good. Appreciate the gesture, though. Any other business or communications to come before the board? At this point in time, I'll read a statement. Pursuant to Illinois state law, I am hereby notifying the McLean County Board and the public that a vacancy exists in the position of county auditor as a result of the resignation and retirement of Jackie Dozier effective July 31st, 2009. In accordance with the rules of the McLean County Board, written applications and resumes must be submitted to the Office of the County Administrator by noon, 12 o'clock noon on Thursday, September 3rd, 2009. Applicants for the vacant position must be residents of McLean County and must meet all the qualifications for holding public office. Each applicant must provide evidence of membership in the same political party as the person whom the applicant proposes to succeed. At the executive committee meeting on Tuesday, September 8, 2009, all eligible applicants will be invited to address the committee. At the September 15, 2009 county board meeting, I will recommend an appointment to fill the vacancy of county auditor, subject to the approval of the board. Please be advised that since there are more than 28 months remaining in the term of the vacant position of county auditor, the individual appointed to fill the vacancy will serve until the first Monday in December 2010 and will also be required to stand for election in the general election to be held on the first Tuesday after the first Monday of November 2010 if the person desires to continue in the position until December of 2012, the current end date of the current term. With that, we have bills to pay. We have bills totaling $6,658,103.93. Is there a motion to pay the bills? Motion Cavallini, second Saldner. Questions, comments, or discussion on the bills? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. We are adjourned until August 18th, 2009.